Circle of Care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The FBI, as part of our counterintelligence mission, is investigating the Russian government's efforts to interfere in the 2016 presidential election.
That's the FBI Chief James Comey at a Monday hearing. With more, here's Mike Fortier in Washington.
White House spokesman Sean Spicer insisting there is no evidence of collusion between Russia and members of the Trump campaign.
I think it's fine to look into it, but at the end of the day, they're going to come to the same conclusion that everybody else has had.
FBI Director James Comey says the possibility of collusion is part of a wider investigation into Russia's meddling in the election. Comey stresses he has seen no evidence supporting Trump's allegation that Obama ordered wiretapping at Trump Tower last fall.
Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch to face more questions from senators as the 49-year-old Gorsuch is appearing before the Senate Judiciary Panel with a hearing that began yesterday and could run for 2 to 3 more days. This is USA Radio News.
Ah, oh, fresh powder. I'll get the skis.
Ugh, I can't.
Winter nasal congestion. Is it A, cold, B, sinus pressure, C, allergies?
I'm not sure.
For all of the above, the answer is D, Allegra D, a maximum strength decongestant plus a powerful non-drowsy antihistamine for 24 hours of relief.
Feel better?
Yep. Feel like racing?
Hey, wait!
This winter, the answer is Allegra D. Look for Allegra D at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
Ooh, all right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors.
Mm-hmm.
And shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
A Fox News judicial analyst is suspended over claims that British intelligence did wiretap Trump Tower at the request of former President Barack Obama. Multiple media outlets now reporting that Fox News has suspended Andrew Napolitano after he said British intelligence, quote, most likely provided President Obama with transcripts of Trump's calls. The British government strongly denied that claim. Ivanka Trump will reportedly have an office in the White House, but not an official title. Tom Roberts explains.
Ivanka's attorney Jamie Gorelick tells Politico that the first daughter will serve as President Trump's eyes and ears. However, she won't have an official role or receive a salary. Gorelick adds that Ivanka will still follow the same rules and ethics as a government employee, although she isn't one. Politico says her office will be on the second floor of the West Wing. Ivanka is also reportedly getting security clearance and government-issued devices.
This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I have my own business, so I wear lots of hats. Now I'm wearing my office manager hat because I need supplies.
Well, Staples has everything you need.
Now I'm putting on my CFO hat because I can't overspend.
And you won't. Right now, buy two, get one free on all 10 ream cases of paper.
All my hats and I would like to thank you.
They are welcome.
Staples, everything you need for business at great prices. And now, buy two, get one free on all 10 ream paper cases. In-store only, plus tax where applicable. Ends 4/1/17.
California has been put on notice by the Trump administration. Jason Campidonia explains.
The Golden State is mentioned in the new Decline Detainer Outcome Report, which is published by the Department of Homeland Security. The goal of the report is to highlight law enforcement agencies that are potentially endangering Americans by failing to cooperate with immigration enforcement. The report released Monday also mentions law enforcement agencies in 10 other states, including New York, Florida, and Illinois. Cities across California have declared themselves sanctuaries for those here illegally since Trump has been in office.
A fake gun is having real consequences for a man responsible for shutting down the U.S. Capitol last year. Tennessee's Larry Dawson was sentenced yesterday to 11 months in prison for bringing what turned out to be a BB gun onto the Capitol building complex last year. Dawson was shot when he pointed the gun at an officer and refused to drop it. They say Dawson has a history of mental illness. And it's back to the drawing board for a Colorado woman who's not going to be allowed to trademark the name Marijuanaville. A trademark trial and appeal board judge siding with Jimmy Buffett, who said the name is too close to the singer's Margaritaville. Rachel Bevis wanted to use the Marijuanaville name on a line of T-shirts and hats and other clothing items. You can always find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Good morning. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com. It's time for Chamber Radio weather. It's currently 47 degrees with cloudy skies here in Flemington, New Jersey. Looks like we have a high of 56 this afternoon with mostly cloudy skies. For tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 31. Tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny skies, but definitely chillier with a high near 38. Wednesday night, clear with a low around 16. By Thursday, things warm up a little bit again, sunny with a high near 41. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low of 24. Friday, partly sunny skies with a high near 50. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 40. Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high near 67. And then it looks like by Saturday night, some chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a low of 40. And then on Sunday, also a chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a high near 48. That's Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good morning. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com. It's time for Some Things About Money. I'm Michelle Heide. With me, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton, Heide & Associates, located in Annandale, New Jersey. Good morning, Joe. How are you doing?
Good morning, Michelle. Doing fine. A beautiful day, but not so much in the market. We're looking at a lot of red today. The Dow is currently down 136 points. The S&P 500 is down 16. The NASDAQ is down over 48. Over in Europe, European shares are a little bit mixed to higher. UK inflation spiking to 2.3%. You're looking at Deutsche Bank on that is up 7%, but the FTSE is down a little bit over 0.3%. The DAX in Germany is up just under 0.1%. The CAC 40 in France is up about 0.3%. Looking over at oil. Oil prices are surrendering some early gains today. There's some talk of OPEC cutting extension supports, and right now oil is down 13 cents a barrel to 48.09. Looking over at gold, gold gaining slightly as dollar is offsetting Asian selling. Gold is currently up $7.50 to 12.41.50, and the 10-year treasury, the yield is down a little bit, 2.445%. So that's where we stand as far as an update in the market. We got a lot of things going on today. We're going to talk about what is it going to take? You know, how much do you have to earn to be considered upper class? We were looking at these numbers earlier, kind of scratching our heads because intuitively we thought they would be higher. In fact, since the 2014 numbers, which is the latest that we have in terms of data, it shows a significant decrease from the 1999 figure. So we'll get into that. I will do a little bit of by the numbers, not necessarily trivia, but some interesting little factoids about different aspects of money that you may find interesting. And, you know, we'll talk about some other things. We have, well, stocks continuing to lead bonds. Stock prices, well, they appear to be taking a needed breather this month with recent cross currents out of Washington. Well, let's just say creating a little bit of a concern. However, the S&P 500 index is still a healthy 6.5% higher year-to-date as of the last close on a total return basis. Inside the S&P 500, information technology, that's up 12.5%, healthcare up 9.4%, and consumer discretionary up 7.5%. Of course, those are all numbers before today. They're the sector leaders as we head into the first quarter's close. Now, the Russell 2000 index, meanwhile, is higher by only 2.3% year-to-date and basically flat over the last 3 months. U.S. small caps have struggled to gain traction this year, particularly as progress on tax reform has been much less visible and healthcare legislation has taken over center stage. In our view, smaller cap domestic companies could benefit the most from lower taxes. Hence, a little progress on the tax reform front this year has hamstrung this equity category. With that said, both domestic and several foreign equity benchmarks continue to outperform bonds and is a major theme that we've identified at the end of last year in our 2017 investment theme conversation. For comparison purposes, the Barclays U.S. Universal Bond Index is higher by just 0.6% year-to-date and is down 0.5% month-to-date. However, as Wall Street Journal information has pointed out yesterday, the yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury now exceeds the dividend yield on the S&P 500. If this discrepancy continues to grow this year, it could signal a shift where, risk-averse, income-oriented investors find more comfort in allocating more to bonds rather than to stocks. Already this year, interest rate-sensitive equity sectors such as telecom, real estate, and utilities have begun to meaningfully trail the broader S&P 500 index. Stocks are no longer cheap on a variety of valuation metrics. Over the last year, price to earnings, price to cash flow, and price to book multiples on the S&P 500 have ramped higher and sit below their one-year averages. However, we believe earnings should continue to grow over the next few quarters as the economy improves. This could provide some cushion for equity prices while interest rates and inflation levels remain near historically low levels as well. So, I don't know, Michelle, it just seems that up until today there's been this churn to the market where we haven't had many 100-point moves in either direction. In fact, compared to the last decade, we are, we're having a dearth of volatility. The VIX is, bouncing around all-time lows and really doesn't show much sign in moving higher. So we'll just have to see how this all works out.
I know, absolutely. And one of our little tidbits, this is from a few weeks ago, but the number is actually higher at this point. But the S&P 500 had gained an average of plus 1.6% total return during the first quarter over the last 25 years. So from 1992 through 2016, it's already up, over 6% year to date. So, hey, maybe since it is March 21st, maybe the last 10 days of March, we'll bring that number down and bring it back to the average. I don't know.
I don't know either, but you got that Ides of March thing a little bit late, but hey, better late than never.
Exactly.
Volatility is not necessarily a bad thing, but
volatility
on a
provides
day like
opportunity.
Today, it sure feels that way, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And looking at some of these other little tidbits, now I know why I'm always a little nervous when I drive over bridges. Because 28% of our nation's 612,079 bridges are at least 50 years old and have never received any major reconstruction work. And that is the American Road and Transportation Builders Association statistics. So 28%, so almost one out of every three bridges is at least 50 years old.
I think in New Jersey, we would take that number here.
Exactly. Maybe that's why I get a little nervous. All right. Well, we're going to do our first break. And when we return, as Joe mentioned, lots of good information to share. I'm going to be talking a little bit about family finances and, how to talk to your family about money and what some of the latest findings in the latest Ameriprise study are showing. And in the meantime, we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on 100andChamberRadio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Again, Michelle Heidi and Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton Heidi & Associates. If you have any questions or would like some additional information, feel free to give our office a call, 908-713-6600. So, Joe, you had mentioned at the beginning of the show some new statistics have come out in regards to what folks are considered upper income.
Yeah, Kathleen Elkins had an interesting article in Money Magazine that, well, I guess if you live in Hunterdon County, you may or may not believe it, but, you know, the majority of the people here are considered to be upper class. Now, the median income of American households has decreased significantly from 1991 to 2014 across the lower, middle, and upper classes, and that's according to Pew Research Center. The research group found that nationwide, the median income of U.S. households in 2014 stood at 8% less than in 1999, and that's a reminder that the economy has yet to fully recover from the effects of the Great Recession of 2007 through 2009. Now, of course, these are year-end 2014 numbers, and as we all know, in the last 2 years, the economy has been going great guns. What is it? Just under 2% a year. Despite the drop in income, members of the upper class are still doing well for themselves. Pew defines upper class as adults whose annual household income is more than double the national median, which is $55,775 in 2016, after incomes have been adjusted for household size. Smaller households require less to support the same lifestyle as larger households, Pew notes. Of course, there's more to class than income. Upper class can also be identified by net worth, education, and occupation, for example, but household income can be a useful tool by which to group people. Now, here's a breakdown of how much you have to earn this year to be considered upper income, depending upon the size of your family. Now, if you're a single person like myself, the minimum is $72,126. Households of two, you're looking at $102,001. households of 3, minimum of 124,925, 4, minimum of 144,251, and 5, the minimum of 161,277. So let's see, I'm living as well if I'm at 72,000 as somebody who's living at 161,000 with 5 in the house. Is that an argument for staying single? Don't know, but it's rather interesting when you put it that way. Now, in 1999, the upper tier was at 186,424, whereas in 2014 year end, it was at 173,207. So there has been a significant reduction in what is considered upper income for just a household of 3. So I don't know. Things need to get better, especially if we're living here in Hunterdon County.
Wow, very interesting. Very interesting. Let's see. Quick check on the market, just in terms of what stocks are getting hit today. When I'm looking at the S&P, it looks like companies like Biogen, Philip Morris, and Chipotle are in the green, but the decliners are significantly the mid-sized and smaller regional banks.
So in other
banks,
words, if you Citizens, look at today's market numbers, Michelle, it's going to make you freak out, so you do drugs and then you get the munchies.
Exactly. Yes. So it's some of those vice some of those vice-related companies that are doing okay versus healthcare and actually financials across the board on the S&P and the Dow, because we even have good old Goldman Sachs getting hit. But Coca-Cola is up. So anyway.
Well, Goldman Sachs really has become a bit bearish on the stock market, at least here in the United States, for the balance of 2017. So they should get hit.
Yes. Yeah, I guess caffeine. Monster beverages in the green. Coca-Cola in the green. Interesting. All right. But the market in general, the Dow is still down about 133 points.
Well, we did talk about those big daily drops. We alluded to it earlier in the show. And as of the close of trading last Friday, the S&P 500 has gone, until today, 103 consecutive days of trading without suffering at least a 1% decline over any single trading day. And that was the longest stretch. The stock index has gone without a 1% drop since it had a run of 105 trading days without a 1% tumble at the end of December. It was about December 15th of 1995, or more than 21 years ago. So when I say we haven't seen a lot of volatility in the movement of the markets, wow, we haven't.
No,
so a
not
day
at
like
all.
Today, I would imagine, is going to affect people psychologically much more than it would have back in the day, where it was like every other or every 3 trading days, we were moving 100 points in one direction or another.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely.
And yet, at the same time, we're up well over, I guess, over 230% since the bottom in the market in 2009. But people have a tendency to not take the long-term perspective. We're affected on a day-to-day basis. So a day like today should have a little bit of a psychological effect on investors, though it should not.
Yes, we are now seeing the Dow down 169 points. So some of that psychological effect is starting to kick in a little bit now that people have woken up and are starting to look at the markets. All right, let's see. Remember the debt ceiling? Remember how many years ago, that one August, where the market was extremely volatile because of the whole debt ceiling conversation?
In Washington. Yes, we're not going to pay our bills, and oh, we're going to go to hell in a handbasket and be downgraded, and the rest of the world is going to hate us, and it'll be the death knell for our ability to sell debt here out of the United States. How did that work out?
Exactly. Well, let's see. Legislation signed into law by President Barack Obama on November 2nd of 2015 suspended any debt ceiling limit until March 15th, so last week. Our national debt at that time is at $18.5 trillion on November 2nd, 2015, and our national debt was just under $20 trillion 2 weeks ago this year. Interesting.
Well, what's also interesting is that how, you know, the whole downgrade over our debt conversation was no big deal. I mean, as of the 13th of this month, that was the 1,400th trading day since the S&P downgrade We were downgraded in the United States from the top credit rating on Friday, August 5th of 2011. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note closed at 2.57% on August of 5th, 2011. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note closed last Friday, March 10th, at 2.58%. So, you know, doom and gloom and interest rates were going to skyrocket because of the downgrade of our credit rating. No.
Not much. Hey, and congratulations, credit card holders. Total credit card debt in the U.S. dropped this January to $995 billion, the first month-over-month decrease since February of last year. The peak in credit card debt nationally, and guess when that was? No surprise here. April of 2008. It was at $1.022 trillion. So at least folks are starting to really focus on paying down their credit cards and or using them less. I'm still surprised at how many people have, you know, 10, 15 different credit cards. It's just, it boggles my mind. I mean, I know when you go into any store now, ooh, if you sign up for our card today, you'll get an extra 15% discount. Well, whoopee-doo. I know that's nice, but yes, you don't need another credit card. Use one or two cards.
Especially if it's going to have a negative impact on your credit rating. Now, once you have the cards and your credit rating is stabilized, naturally you don't want to start canceling your cards, because that could have a negative impact on your rating itself going forward. So, you know, be careful on that one. I always like to suggest that people to get an old-fashioned ice tray, you know, the old ones that were metal, that, you know, the bottom of it was frozen solid in the water. Mm-hmm. And just kind of slide your, you know, the credit cards that you're not supposed to be using in the tray,
right,
in the water, freeze them in the freezer, and if you really are tempted to use your card, now you're going to have to wait. Take it out of the freezer, let it thaw, because if you start smashing the tray on the counter, more than likely you're going to shatter the card and you won't be able to use it anyway. So it makes you really step back and, you know, take a pause, take a couple of deep breaths, you know, and really consider whether or not you really want to run up your consumer debt.
Exactly.
Never a good idea if you don't have to.
Nope, absolutely. So let's see, along the lines of, as mentioned before, the financial sector, banking is getting hit today in the markets. Interesting that less than 2% of the banks and savings institutions in the U.S. hold 82% of the deposits maintained in FDIC-insured institutions as of the end of December. There are a total of 5,913 banks and savings institutions holding a total of $16.8 trillion of deposits.
Well, there used to be far more than that until Dodd-Frank put all of these onerous regulations on top of regional and local banks that had nothing to do with the housing crisis and the credit default swaps and all of the other instruments that the large banks created to protect themselves from the risk of issuing debt under the threat of Congress. You know, to give money to people at zero down without any income verification, just to promote home ownership, especially in areas of cities in the country where they needed to fill vacant homes and really help people with the American dream of owning a house, who unfortunately really didn't have the assets or the income to be good credit risk. And of course, we all know how that game played out. The banks protected themselves by creating all of these instruments, hopefully, in their minds, to provide insurance against these defaults. And, you know, unfortunately, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were, you know, pushing to get these mortgages out there to the public, and we all know how that ended up. Not really well.
Exactly. Yeah, if the same credit standards that were used by lenders back in 2001 were used during the 6 years of 2009 to 2014, you know, obviously following the financial crisis, an additional $5.2 million mortgage loans would have been made, including a little over $1 million in 2014 alone. That's just crazy.
Well, I mean, what's wrong? I mean, we went through Dodd-Frank, which was designed to deal with the too-big-to-fail issue and to put more safeguards on these institutions for the benefit of our citizens and the consumers. Yet at the same time, you're quoting numbers that indicate that, you know, 2% of the credit is being, I mean, all the credit is being held by 2% of the banks, well, that's too much bigger to fail. And what Dodd-Frank, and I guess the law of unintended consequences comes into play here, created a situation where it costs so much to provide the mandatory compliance that was put into place under Dodd-Frank for these regional, especially on local banks, that they didn't have the resources to go out there and hire new departments and to spend millions and millions of dollars to guarantee that they're not doing something that they never did before. And all this did was put them at risk and force them into the arms of the largest institutions who were the ones responsible for the problem. So, you know, it's almost like, you know, whether it was intended or not, our government forced us into a direction where we're developing a European-like banking system where there's going to be very, very few banks out there that will control the banking for the entire country. That was not what was originally sold to the citizens. We were talking about safeguards and safeguards against those institutions that were responsible. And those institutions had nothing to do with the local bank in Flemington.
Nope. All right. Almost time to take a break and check the latest in the news and weather. But before we do that, I can't go into the break without talking about the 2017 Women's Business Summit. So we're sponsoring the 8th Annual Women's Business Summit on Tuesday, April 25th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Hawk Point Golf Club. This year's theme, Moving Women Forward in Business. Our afternoon keynote speaker is going to be Kathleen McQuiggan, who's the director of PAC's Elevate Global Women's Fund. She's responsible for the gender initiatives at PAC's World, including managing the firm's efforts on gender equality as an investment concept and for leading the sales and marketing efforts of the fund. She's a longtime activist for women's issues in business and has been a guest speaker at numerous conferences on women in finance, including 85 Broads, Simmons College, and 100 Women in Hedge Funds. So the Women's Business Forum is presently planning some highly informative breakout sessions for the summit, covering topics like professional development, community leadership roles, and much more. Pat and Heidi Associates is the presenting sponsor again this year. We also have 100 and Radiological Associates as supporting sponsor, Raritan Valley Community College as contributing sponsor, and MSI Plumbing, the scholarship sponsor. So up to 10 individuals are able to get scholarships to attend the summit. So if you'd like the criteria and or to apply, you can reach out to Laura here at the Chamber. Give the Chamber a call at 908-782-7115 or go to www.100-chamber.org for more information. But it's always a wonderful day. Lots of great information, idea sharing, and making connections. So I can't speak highly enough about it, and hope to see you there. We're going to do a short check of the news and the weather, and then we'll be back to some things about money here on 100andchamberradio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
They provided direct support. It wasn't just one or two rogue employees. There was a pattern of support and sympathy.
That's a lawyer for some 800 9/11 victims who are filing a lawsuit accusing Saudi Arabia of complicity in the terrorist attacks. Lawyer for the plaintiffs, Andrew Maloney, saying Saudi Arabia helped the terrorists commit them.
Many government officials were involved in supporting and conspiring with Al-Qaeda. They provided material support. They provided money. They provided logistical support.
The lawsuit's been filed in Manhattan federal court. It's day two of the confirmation hearing for Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch. The 49-year-old Gorsuch taking questions from the Senate Judiciary Panel after yesterday defending his judicial independence and saying there's no such thing as a Republican judge or a Democratic judge. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Changes in Washington are not only affecting the nation's economy, but your family's as well. Quicken Loans can show you how to take advantage of a cash-out refinance to pay off credit card debt or invest in home improvements. In fact, you may be able to eliminate private mortgage insurance. No matter what's happening in Washington, it's always a smart move to call us at 800-QUICKEN. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.6%. Experience the confidence that comes from working with a mortgage partner that has your best interest in mind. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN today or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030.
It is 11:35, and we'll do a quick check of the weather. It's currently 47 degrees with some overcast skies here in Flemington, New Jersey. Does look like the sun is going to try and peek out this afternoon with a high of 56 degrees. Tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny but breezy with a high of 38. Thursday, sunny with highs of 41. Friday, high of 50. Saturday, jumping up to 67 degrees, but mostly cloudy skies. And then it looks like the rain possibilities start to kick in Saturday night into Sunday. That's 100inchamberradio.com weather. And we are back with some things about money here on 100inchamberradio.com. I thought I would kick off the beginning of our second half by talking a little bit about the Ameriprise Financial Family Wealth Checkup Study. So a lot of folks feel uncomfortable discussing topics such as life insurance needs, healthcare costs, education financing, especially in talking with parents, children, siblings. Well, if you're feeling a little uncomfortable, you're not alone. According to the new study, the majority of Americans approach family money talks with a similar sense of apprehension. But many of them forge ahead and talk things out anyway. The result? Well, increased financial confidence and improved family relationships, according to the research. What topics do family members discuss? What happens when those conversations take place? And how can these families improve their money-based communications? Well, here are some of the questions and some of the information that was found in the recent Family Wealth Checkup Study done through Ameriprise. So, a conversation starter checklist. Well, start discussions early and don't shy away from serious subjects. 9 in 10 adult children who have discussed estate planning say a life-altering incident triggered the talk with their parents. Don't wait until a family tragedy to bring up finance. Second, have an estate place in plan. Have an estate plan in place. I think I need some lunch. It's important to have written instructions of your wishes, such as a will or trust, and be sure your beneficiaries are up to date across all accounts. Next, tell loved ones where to find important documents. Family members should know where important documents are located, including how to access online accounts. And actually, these are some of the areas that are covered in a family love letter presentation that I'll be starting to kick off within the next couple of months. So you'll be hearing more about that on our show as we move forward in terms of when those will be starting and where the locations will be. Let's see. One key finding when we talk about money. Families tend to avoid complex or uncomfortable financial planning topics in favor of more immediate issues. Well, I think we all kind of know that. People would much rather talk about planning for their vacation than talking about what happens if they pass away. Well, that's particularly evident when it comes to parent-child relationships. For example, 7 out of 10 adult children commonly talk to their parents about managing current finances and paying for health care. But some subjects appear to be taboo. Case in point, only half have discussed life insurance issues with their parents, an undeniably critical matter, but one that can also be emotionally loaded for all parties. So here are the top things that children are talking to their parents about. Again, as mentioned, 74% managing current finances, 73% paying for health care, 70% long-term financial goals, 67% estate planning, 49% life insurance, 48% education expenses. So again, nearly 3/4 chat freely about managing daily expenses and debt. At the same time, 4 out of 10 avoid diving into discussions about educational expenses, a very important topic given educational costs continue to climb. Let's see. So a total of 63% of respondents report feeling extremely or very confident about their family's financial futures, and those people are more likely to have frequent family conversations about things such as long-term financial goals, retirement planning, inheritance, estate planning. So where do they get their confidence? Well, a healthy balance sheet certainly helps. The most confident respondents are baby boomers with between $500,000 and $5 million in investable assets. By contrast, the least confident are Gen Xers with less than $500,000. but there are other factors. Those self-assured boomers also tend to have financial advisors and formal financial plans. What's more, they've taken tangible steps to prepare for their futures. So 68% have completed a formal will or estate plan, 71% have identified a third party to execute their will and or administer their estate, and 65% have completed a living will or healthcare directive. It's no surprise that estate plans can boost financial confidence. Having one in place can wipe out a huge burden of worry for parents and children alike. It can also help families navigate some of their most challenging money talks. According to the survey, 33% of adult children haven't discussed inheritance or estate issues with their parents. As for why, the top reasons, well, 34% don't believe it's their place to raise the issue, 21% say it might be uncomfortable or lead to tension, and 18% just don't want to think about losing their parents. So in short, it simply feels like an awkward and even upsetting topic to bring up, but as the survey also reveals, that perception is off the mark, because parents and children who have discussed estate planning overwhelmingly report the experience was positive. And again, discussing estate planning doesn't mean you have to talk about every dollar and cent that you have. It can be having a general conversation as far as what your needs and wishes are. So that definitely adds to the confidence level. So bottom line, you know, don't wait for a life-altering event, because that's when the emotions are running high, and that's usually not the best time to do it because everyone's under a significant amount of stress. So you want to have these conversations well in advance of anything happening. Secondly, consider working with an advisor. You know, having an objective party, such as a financial advisor, can help navigate those complexities at hand. The study found that assistance can prove particularly effective if family members all work with the same advisor. You know, respondents say that a shared advisor can understand the full scope of the family's issues. You know, that gives a nice, common, neutral starting point to have money discussions. So, again, latest study through Ameriprise Financial, key is to talk about it. Again, you don't have to talk about all the dollars and cents because we know that especially older folks are sometimes uncomfortable having those specific conversations. But again, at least having the conversations, talking about what's important, what's not important, what you want to see happen, what you don't want to see happen, at least putting everything out on the table before something does happen.
And again, you know, we've talked about this in the past. If you know, you're shopping around for a financial advisor, you want to make sure that, of course, the advisor's interested in what you have to say. And you know, it's up to you really to say what involvement that the financial advisor is going to have in your situation. And you really want to make sure that they're able and willing, and your other partners in this relationship are willing to talk to them as far as, you know, your tax professional, your attorney. That's important. The other thing that's important, and I know people confuse this all the time, and this is about certifications. And, you know, there are some companies out there that in their minds will tell you that having a license to sell a product is a certification. It is not. A certification is a professional credential. You're talking about certified public accountants. You're talking about certified financial planners. You're talking about chartered financial analysts. You're talking about people who have professional credentials. And remember, just because somebody has a license to sell securities or life insurance does not mean that they have credentials or certifications. Of course, why would people say that? Well, they say that because they don't have them. So make sure that if you're going to hire a professional to work with you and your family, you hire a professional who is one.
Absolutely. All right. Let's see. We're going to do, you know, I think we'll take our final break of the show, and then we'll look to wrap things up. Going to share some information on some benefits of retiring later. Yes, I'm talking about retiring later, which actually, believe it or not, you know, we're starting to see a lot more people kind of moving into semi-retirement and finding something that they really love to do. And then retirement doesn't necessarily mean just stopping work completely, but really following your passions, whether or not they involve getting paid for those passions or whether it's volunteer work, those types of things. So talk a little bit about that when we return from our break. Again, thanks for tuning in to Some Things About Money here on 100andChamberRadio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
And we're back to wrap up today's Some Things About Money. Michelle Heidi, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton Heidi and Associates, located in Annandale, New Jersey. So I mentioned before the break, six benefits of retiring later. Well, millions of Americans dream of being able to retire early. The reduced stress, the free time, and even the social status that it may bring are very appealing to many workers, especially those who have worked their way higher up on the corporate ladder. Unfortunately, the staggering costs that come with this dream have made it impossible for all but the most fortunate. In fact, many workers are discovering that they are going to have to work longer than they originally anticipated, an adjustment that can seem unbearable to some. But there are several advantages to this course of action that may not be readily apparent. So we're going to examine some of the benefits that come with working past your quote-unquote normal retirement age. Let's see. Increased earned income. Well, the additional years of employment may not only generate some additional current income, but also the chance to continue contributing to an IRA or company retirement plan. A worker who stays in his or her position another 5 years and makes the maximum contribution to a traditional or Roth IRA will retire with another $30,000 in retirement savings, plus whatever growth the contributions accumulate during that time. Also, increased Social Security income. Those who work until age 70 or later and defer receiving Social Security until they stop working can usually expect to receive substantially greater benefits than those who retire at the quote-unquote normal age. So the retirement benefits estimator on the Social Security website shows that a man born in 1970 who made $50,000 last year will receive $1,181 a month if he retires at 62, $1,772 per month if he retires at 67, and $2,244 a month if he retires at 70. This comes at a difference of $472 per month if he's willing to wait another 3 years to begin receiving benefits. That equates to an additional of $5,664 in benefits for the rest of his life. Shorter time frame to fund. Well, this is perhaps the biggest benefit to retiring later. Funding a retirement that lasts for only 15 or 20 years is radically different than funding one that starts at age 60. Not only can working additional years provide additional retirement income, it reduces the number of years that those savings must last, thus raising the amount of income that can be drawn from the portfolio. Extended employee benefits. This is a big one. Paying for health insurance out of pocket can be a major expense for retired couples who are getting up in years. Working longer can allow you to keep your group health insurance coverage that you have through your employer, which can save you thousands of dollars in premiums. Other benefits, such as life insurance, may also be continued at a lower cost. Greater peace of mind. Well, knowing that your retirement is more securely funded can allow you to sleep much better at night. It can also allow you to make more definitive plans once you retire because you will likely have a much clearer picture of your finance. Greater longevity. Well, we've all heard the studies that staying sharp on the job can help you stay fit and healthy and keep you hale longer during your retirement. Those who retire earlier often become sedentary sooner and develop health problems as a result. Those problems could lead to some substantial medical expenses in some cases. So, bottom line, well, these are just a few of the reasons why it can be wise to retire later than you originally planned. Those who continue to work at the end of their careers will also usually get additional income at the peak of their earnings. So, for more information on the advantages of retiring later, you might want to talk to your human resource department and/or financial advisors. So again, you know, and this, I'm just throwing my own two cents in, that doesn't mean that if you're miserable in your current job and you just can't see working until age 70, that doesn't mean that, hey, you know, now might be a good time to reevaluate what you're doing for a living. And who knows, maybe if you sit down and take a look at what your expenses and things are, maybe you can find a job that you really enjoy doing. You know, maybe you don't get paid as much, but it's better quality of life, and perhaps then you'll want to work longer and have an even better picture about retirement and what that looks like for you. So, some things to keep in mind. Anything else to add to that, Joe?
Well, I just look at my own situation, and quite frankly, there's no reason for me to retire at this point. Because what do? Retire to nothing? You try to find something that's interesting, that you have passion about. Well, I find what we do interesting, and I have passion around this. Mm-hmm. And as long as I have the ability to be relevant and, you know, and I have the desire to continue to want to make a difference in the lives of other people, there's really no reason for me to stop doing it. And it's not just, you know, financial services. The same applies to law or medicine or really any other business that, you know, or endeavor that you're involved in that, you know, doesn't require that you, you know, have, you know, the same strength that you had when you were 30 years old. I mean, I can see where people in the trades have a difficulty in, you know, getting up on roofs or lugging, you know, wood or, you know, heavy bags around, doing things like that. I mean, there comes a time where physically you're just not able to do it anymore. But, you know, if you're in a profession where, you know, you're working with your mind and your mind is still sharp and you can continue to do what you've done at that high level, you know, to not do it simply because you've reached a specific age doesn't make any sense to me. You know, you may have, if you have something else to go into that's just that you're just as passionate about, fine. But all too many times we have our clients get to this age and they're like, oh, now it's time to retire. Why? You know, if your company's not throwing you out the door and you have choice, why stop doing what you love to do that really, to a certain extent, has made you the person you are today? Mm-hmm. And that's a whole nother show as far as dealing with the psychological impact of leaving a job, leaving a career. You know, how difficult it is for somebody who's been doing, you know, something for the last 30, 40 years and who has made a difference in the company and the lives of other people they work with and of customers or clients. Now all of a sudden a day comes, a time comes where you no longer do that. What is the impact on your feeling about your self-worth? So these are difficult questions that, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to do with money. It has to do with the human condition.
Yep, absolutely. You know, as Joe mentioned, we've had quite a few clients that thought they were ready to be retired. They retired for a couple months, and then they're like, wait a minute.
I can't do this.
And so now they're back to work, and they're doing what they love to do. And, you know, they've kind of gotten their identity back, but they're still enjoying it. You know, there's no law that says you have to retire at 62 or 65. You know, yes, that's when you might be able to collect your Social Security, but guess what? That's not going to be the mainstay of your retirement anyway. So why not, you know, stop worrying about the age and focus on the important things in life and then build your plans around that?
Especially, you know, you get to a certain age, you may be incurring expenses that you weren't expecting. I mean, we talk to clients all the time about the anticipated cost of, you know, the out-of-pocket cost of healthcare. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for a couple in retirement, what is it? Now it's going on close to $250,000.
$250,000, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, most people have not prepared for that kind of number. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're looking at their 401k statement and they just don't realize that that is not the amount that they get to work with.
Yep.
Because those dollars, in almost every case, are dollars that have yet to be taxed.
Absolutely.
And when they start coming out, you're paying income tax on that. So, you know, if you're paying 25% of your distribution to the government, you're living on the 75%, not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something else that you have to consider. But well,
absolutely.
Well, with some other factoids, we have a few minutes. First time, we were talking about mortgages and banks and Dodd-Frank earlier, and how, you know, the federal institutions were complicit in the creation of the housing crisis. Well, even today, do you know that home buyers that borrow money from FHA-insured lenders may be eligible for a minimum down payment, get this, of just 3.5%, and most of the home buyer's closing costs and fees may be included in the loan. Now, of course, yeah, they're going to be required to purchase mortgage insurance, mm-hmm. but I don't think that, you know, that's the point.
Right.
You know, the mortgage insurance isn't going to be a dollar for dollar offset to the lender. I mean, if you're out $200,000, you're going to have to collect a lot of mortgage insurance payments to get to that point. And when you have a 2008 type of crisis, you don't have enough time to accumulate enough premiums to offset the loss that your institution has to take. And that's where I don't understand why. You know, we don't go to a system that's more like Canada where you need, I don't know, what is it now, almost a third down? And
right.
you have to have income verification. And, you know, those financial institutions don't need a Dodd-Frank because they're run under sound financial management and under sound financial principles. They're not going to lend out money to people who are bad credit risks. And their government isn't saying they should. You know, why we're doing it here? We've already had a crisis in housing, and we're getting ready to have another one based upon the fact that so many of the loans that are being underwritten are being underwritten under the same terms and conditions as those that were written in 2007 and 2008. You can't do it. You can't continue to go down this road and not expect it to happen again.
Yep, definitely not.
So, be that as it may. So many other things.
We were talking about health insurance before. Well, 32% of the 3,144 counties in the United States have only one health insurance option available through the Federal Insurance Exchange or through their state-run exchange. So that's about a third of the counties in our country only have one option available.
Right.
That's pretty
and
sad.
Kind of like the old, if you like your doctor, you can keep them. Not really. I have my own personal story where I had a health episode that because the Affordable Health Care Act forced my insurance company to strip my policy from me because it didn't provide me, a single man, with maternity care, it ended up costing me $7,000 out of pocket more than it would have under my previous policy. So there you go. It's real, folks.
Mm-hmm.
But you
Absolutely.
Know, the House Republicans, you know, their American Health Care Act that they were talking about back on the 6th, it's creating their own issues. I mean, we're talking about a bill that was including language that allowed health insurance to impose a 30% price increase on individuals who go uninsured at least 63 days and then buy coverage only after they become sick. You know, that's a provision known as continuous coverage. Now, granted, it doesn't make any sense. It's not really insurance if people don't buy it before the event. It's like getting into a car accident
right.
and then buying car auto insurance, or your house burning down and then buying fire insurance. It's absurd. So, you know, if you're going to buy insurance, you buy insurance when you need to, and that's before the event. This whole thing under the current plan where, you know, you had this mandate of young people buying insurance that they didn't want or need, they were paying the fines, and that's one of the reasons why the, you know, the Affordable Health Care Act was not working. It was not affordable. And that's why we have a third of the counties in this country with only one option, soon to have none, unless this changes. And I'm fully aware that, you know, for a 64-year-old person under the Republican plan, it was going to bankrupt them. Yeah, I got all of that. But they are in the process of making revisions to the original program, and it's really about the financials the first go-around. They have yet to build the bill in terms of putting in the specifics about how it's going to work. That's going to require more conversation, more committee meetings, and votes in the House and in the Senate. This is not that bill.
All right. Well, time to wrap up. Thanks for tuning in to Some Things About Money here on 100andChamberRadio.com. Have a great week. Don't forget to buy local. Buy 100.
The news is sponsored by the 100 and Medical Center.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.